Hey everyone, and welcome to my podcast. I actually can't wait to talk to you, Bob, today because I realized we're in this beautiful, similar space, and I can't wait to talk about high performance, leadership, trainings, and how actually you see the all kind of probably not situation, but probably right now is a lot of things changing in that organizational or company theme, because I see the mood, we call it always mood is changing, right? So I'm really curious, like, how you see all the leadership and the business in general in the future or from now moving forward. So let's start. Welcome, Bob. How are you?
Great, Alex. I'm really happy to be here. This is
Yeah.
going to be fun.
Thank you so much for finding the time. So yeah, tell us more about you, Bob. First of all, I think everybody who's listening will be happy to hear your background and understanding why we have this conversation or why we're going to have the conversation.
Well, my name's Bob Chonka, and I'm the co-owner of a company called Sola Interactive, and we produce training films for industries, all various companies across varied industries across the US, around the world, actually. I actually started in this business in the late 1980s. So my white
Amazing.
gray hair kind of says I've been doing this a long time. The reason I bring that up is, when you're in any specific industry long enough, you begin to recognize patterns. You
Oh,
begin
yes.
to see different movements that take place in the marketplace. So when you brought that up, that there's a lot of activity that is happening in the various industries. AI
Oh,
is
yes.
impacting the workforce dramatically. Then you have all the generational differences that's taken place in the workforce. And right now we've got the two youngest generations that are the majority in the workforce. It's never happened before.
Wow.
So it's not good or bad, but it's different. And I know most of the folks that are listening, are in the, C-level executives and business owners. And being a business owner, I know the importance of addressing and being proactive versus reactive to changes in the workforce. Because when you find yourself, and I know everybody's going to be shaking their head, that when you find yourself reacting, you're not really problem solving. You're just trying to put out fires. You're trying to just keep things under control, but then you're using a lot of that time and energy, and it's counterproductive versus being ahead of what the temperature of the marketplace is. And when you can anticipate what's needed, then you're in a much better position to be proactive and address and not be afraid of the changes, but actually embrace them and give your company a competitive edge.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I love this. So I don't think I'm going to ask you the questions that I was going to talk about training, but I love what you're saying because I think this is the most important probably part of the conversation we can have, because there's a lot of questions I always have around the economy, the situation, and how people respond or react. And we just talked about that yesterday with my business partner. I was like, you know what? This is so interesting. Everybody is reducing the cost. Everybody is unsubscribing from different things, right? And is basically cleaning. And I like that, because one part of that is always when the crisis comes, people clean, right? People want to get rid of the clutter. And everybody does the same thing. And a lot of companies let go of people, or that they want to cut the cost. But I always ask, my question is always the same. It's like, is that really what we need to do? Because I think there is so much more we need to do and focus on, because that is only putting yourself in survival mode, right? It's like, let's survive on a lowest cost. Is that solution? I don't think so, but I would like to hear from you.
Yeah, that is a really a good phrase, survival mode. I've had the opportunity, as well as owning my own business, to actually help consult with other organizations. And I'm always called in when the ship is sinking. They're
Yes.
taking on water and they're in that survival mode and they're reacting. There's no responses, because there's a huge difference between reacting and responding. And when you react, you get into that survival mode and you're trying to get through the day. You're hoping your best outcome is, can I get this week to my company to run, or my team that I'm leading? Can I just get through the week? When you think about that, look at the duress as humans. How long can we do that? Not very long. And then you begin to think, and this is where what happens when you get into survival mode, you start losing your emotional intelligence. You start losing the value of relationships because you
Absolutely.
get into that mode. So when somebody is under duress and they're trying to just get through the week, are they really being empathetic? Are they listening to their coworkers, their, team leaders, other executives? No, that's human behavior. So it's interesting that when the times change or the economic stress factors hit, the key is the exact opposite, is to now look for opportunity, look for cohesiveness that you can create within your organization. And here's an example. So if I, let's say I have this company and I've got five managers and they have 20 people to report to them. Now these managers are taking directives from me, and then they feel the responsibility. They got to make sure that they're 20 that report to them. So there's a command control, general, colonels, majors, et cetera, goes down. Well, if you're not understanding the generational differences that we're now encountering,
It's that's all different leadership.
that system doesn't work for the millennials and the Gen Zs. So you're now your managers, your leaders, your supervisors, they are not leading in the right way. Well, we know for a fact employees do not leave companies, they leave managers.
Agreed.
That is the biggest factor. So if you're looking at the opportunity, saying, grab those managers, those team leaders, and train them, help them understand, give them knowledge so that they can impact the employees in a very positive way, uplift them, get the
Inspire them,
best
yeah.
out of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
I love
why
it.
it's a mindset, Alex. I'm convinced. I've seen it over the
It is.
years.
It is, yeah.
It's a mindset. And the mindset for me personally, and I try to convey this to other leaders. Many times we set our sights, executives, business owners, we're very goal-oriented. We want to hit these goals.
Yes, yeah.
We want to accomplish. We have this destination.
Yeah.
Well, when you get there, now what? Sometimes does that really matter? What really matters is yourself. Are you being true to yourself? Are you content? Are you helping others? And it's really interesting. Scottie Scheffler, a professional golfer, just won the Scottish Open. He was interviewed. He's at the top of his game.
Yeah.
He's arrived. And you know what he said? This, none of this really doesn't matter. What matters is what's in my heart.
Yes, I love it.
That was so wonderful. I was like, oh my goodness,
True.
if executives, leaders could really understand that, they will in turn be very consistent, they'll be fair, they'll be honest, and they will have high integrity. And when you have leaders like that, whether you're in a C-level executive, you're a frontline manager, if you have those qualities that are coming out of you, people will follow you, people will give you their best.
Yeah, they will go with you because they will trust you, right? And I can't believe we have this conversation. I'm with you, Bob, and we didn't really speak. We don't know each other, and I love because when I was looking at what you do, and I was like, I know there will be great conversation, and I knew there will be something coming out, especially when you look at like when you're presenting, when you're talking, there is a heart, there is heart, there is actually focus on a human beings, and that's what I love. Like that's what I love all about you, your work is about humans, is human being, human to human, and I think That's what we forget, because I see a lot of companies are cutting the cost and they don't invest into people. And I'm not saying they need to invest a lot of money into people, but teach them how to open up the conversation with low stress. So how to reduce stress first, right? How to get out of the sympathetic nervous system, the stress mode, the fight or flight mode, and how to become more wide, you know, what more. Because they're so tunneled vision. The moment that we start to be scared because there is a crisis and the worries are coming, you know, to the work, to the life, to cost, to all, like there's always something to worry about. I don't know if it's about the news. I don't watch news, so I don't know, but there's something. And I said, you can't operate like that, because the moment you operate like that, your people see that you're stressed. That means you stress them, because, you know, like we are influencing each other, right? So I would like to ask you about that, because I'm sure you're working in this space a lot, especially when you see the stress leaders, and you said that company comes to you when they are sinking, right? Like there is already like, oh my God, like we are on survival mode. Let's save it. So how do you kind of deal with it? Like how do you help people there? Because I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, you know, the biggest challenge, Alex, is the leaders, you know, understanding that they really need to think inward. How am I being an effective leader? And you have to look at all those different dynamics, because if you don't, you're going to see things through your own lenses. That's just natural for us.
All of us, yeah.
But that doesn't mean it always has to be that way. What it means is when we begin to, as leaders, begin to look at ourselves and say, okay, I've got employees that are afraid right now, AI. And the big phrase now is FOBO, fear of being obsolete.
That's crazy.
So now think about if you do absolutely nothing, and let's say these you have a company of 100 employees, and 60 of them are walking there with FOBO, thinking AI, you know, here I'm in marketing, but AI can type all the marketing and put all the print and everything in seconds. What am I going to do? Well, how is that one employee, then multiply by 60, what is that one employee bringing to the table? Their best or their worst?
The worst,
Are they going to be creative or are they going to be
They're not,
silent? Are
no
they going to be
creative.
cooperative? Or are they going to stay isolated? And then you begin to look at their health. What happens to a person that is under duress and worry? Their immune system, and there's all kinds of studies on this, their immune system goes down. They start getting sick. They're not healthy. That becomes, and that's, it's almost contagious in a sense, not in a virus contagious, but
But
that
it is.
negativity will expand. All because as a leader, you've done nothing. So that's why, as a leader, you really have to go inward and say, okay, what am I doing to help my employees, my greatest resource? You know, when you were saying, my first thought came to my head was when we're under duress and all these things, and people is the greatest resource that any company has. But even smart people, very intelligent people, can forget that. And they begin to look at the numbers. And when you begin to, and numbers are important. Yeah, I'm not saying they're not. You know, as a business owner, I watch my numbers daily. But I have to always say, what am I doing to invest in my people? And am I giving them the tools to work through conflict in a positive way? Because conflict is going to happen. And what do you do with that employee that is experiencing FOBO? What do you do with that employee that you've had there for 30 years and has the gray hair like me and is now reporting to somebody that's 25 years old? You're going to have communication, misunderstandings, you're going to have issues. So if you don't give them the tools to work through that, what are you doing? You're reacting. And that's just, it's sad to see. And even basic marketing 101 from years ago, I'll never forget this. I think I it was Guerrilla Marketing 101 or
Oh,
something
yeah, I remember that.
I think it was that, like back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And one of the first things they said is when the marketplace goes down, that's when you market.
Yeah, you go up.
Because when the market recovers, you'll be the one that's the face that you've presented to them over and over and over, and they'll come to you.
Yeah.
So it just shows that you don't react to negative situations. You be proactive and you look for solutions.
And I think that's very important. It takes so much what you say, and I would say it sounds so simple always. It sounds so simple, right? Like it's don't react, just respond. Start to look at, how to be more strategic, how to be more prepared. And look, bad things will happen. There's no way that I experience over 20 years business that will be stable going up. There is always up and down, always. So I don't understand why we don't learn. Why do you think we don't learn?
You know what? You bring up an interesting thing that I haven't touched on yet. Any person, doesn't matter what position you're in, your new entry level employee, you're now a manager, supervisor, you're an executive. I firmly believe in this model. Everyone needs a mentor. Why? Because the mentor is a true effective mentor. Not somebody that just tells you what to do, but can actually ask you questions. How do you see yourself handling this situation? What do you think is going to be the best thing to do in this economic stress that we're encountering? That mentor can help them then begin to see how they're reacting, or, oh, I need to really pause here for a moment and really think about how can I respond and think forward. Not just, next week, but to look at what's going to happen in a year, what's going to happen in 5 years. And obviously, we can't predict everything, but if you're looking for the opportunities, you can head that way. And a mentor is one of the greatest tools. I personally, my mentor, he's going to turn 99 this year.
I love it. That's awesome.
Amazing, amazing man. And I learned so much, and he would always ask me, so what are you going to do in this situation? And what do you think the outcome will be?
I love the question.
And yeah, and it's just true. A true consultant at work is a mentor, and you can watch too their behaviors and how they think. And that's a major piece, is changing your thinking.
I love that. It's so important to have someone who is asking you questions, as you said, right? Like asking you question and allow you to think, elaborate, and brainstorm. It's almost like you're thinking for yourself, but you have someone to share that with, and that other person just gives you a little bit of mirror, right?
Oh, I'm all excited listening to you on that one, because that's wonderful. When someone can actually hold up the mirror, you actually were reminding me, there was a couple programs that we've actually created for organizations, Mentoring 101 and Mentoring 201.
Oh,
And the
wow.
101, because, well, let me back up. Organizations need mentor programs. Now, there are some out there, we come across some organizations, but overall, they struggle, even if they have a mentor program, is because most of the mentors, that's all they do is they just give advice. They just tell you what to do
It's the experience, you
versus,
have a leader telling you how to do it all the way, right?
So the 101 helps them to really understand their role as a mentor. Then the 201 goes into more of, practical applications. For example, you have somebody you're mentoring, and the mentee says, I want to be, director of marketing, in 2 years. Well, now the mentor would ask a question versus saying, well, that's great. Let's go for it. The mentor, so why do you think you're ready? What skills do you have for that position? Are there any gaps that you have? So now it helps the mentee to go, oh, okay, this is a good goal, but I got to really look at how am I going to get there? What skills do I still need to acquire? What have I
Yeah.
not mastered yet to get to that level? So when that happens, we know that the relationship between them grows strong. In fact, many times those relationships, even if the one person leaves the company or retires,
They last
they
forever, yeah.
maintain that
Yeah.
relationship over the years. I mean, look at me. I've got one that's, he's going to turn 99.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, and the impact that he had on my life to help me to really understand emotional intelligence before that was even a word,
Yeah.
buzzword out there, to
Yeah.
really understand about being fair, to be about being truly honest, not just to others, but honest with yourself. How am I as a manager? You know what? I have skills. I'm very good at this. This is an area that I need to work on. This is an area that always needs attention and development. And ultimately, what's my integrity level? Am I a person of my word? Or do I say one thing and do something different?
Yeah, and I think that's
And
it.
understanding how that can impact relationships in the workforce. I'm convinced, Alex, that relationships in the workplace, that is the key. That has to always be the top
Yeah.
piece and work through those things.
And Bob, you said
And then the
something.
numbers come.
Yes, and you said something very, very super, super important, and I want to go back to that because you said, what level of integrity I have, do I do what I said, and do I follow through? And I think what is happening in a world of stress, or when we are in crisis, or whatever we call it, when we are in this theme, this mood in the business, what is happening? I realize people are busy, people are doing a lot of activities that are not actually essential. People are running around, like Australians say, it's shook without head or something like that. So they're just running around, and I and what is happening is actually impacting the one most important thing in the world, and to me that's relationship, right? And what I see is everybody wants quantity. Everybody comes to the business, and we need to talk to thousands of people. We need to talk to hundreds of people here because they can be our potential clients, and all this sales pressure because of we slowing down a little bit. But we're slowing down because of us, right? And we're slowing down, and people just get so hungry for some results that it's actually icky. Almost the feeling of the market is just horrible. Like you're getting bombarded from with the spam and with messages. When I'm saying now opposite, and I'm saying just stop now, stop going to thousands. And what you said, right? Like look at who you are, your integrity. And do what is important, follow through with your relationships, because you said 20 people that you will come back to them, and because you are too busy to with another 20 new people, you didn't follow up, you didn't tell them, you didn't check on them how they are. The other guy told you he's sick, you didn't even check he's sick, like how he is, if he's better. And this is what we are starting to miss a lot. I don't know if you noticed that, but in organizations, businesses, especially when you have that business where you already have employees and it's kind of struggling probably because it's a little bit slower. Okay, but they forget that relationships will ruin them if they will continue this pace. So I will be curious how you see that.
That Alex, you're bringing up some really key things that's
Yeah.
happening in the world today with that whole busyness and a lot of basically just a lot of nonsense work that doesn't need to happen. And I
Goosebumps.
always
Is the social media, right? Answering
and
weird things, yeah.
so all of that human interaction, the
Yeah.
right things to do just get dismissed, and they're not even thought of, they're not top of mind. And one of the things that comes to my mind is when people are so busy like that, typically what happens is the only communication you receive, why didn't you do this? You didn't do this. How come, why are you late on my report? I can't understand. You're missing some fields of information.
Yeah.
Whatever it is,
Looking for
coming down.
gaps. Yeah.
They're already stressed out to the max and they're so busy. And with the acceptance of ghosting, that's another thing that's gonna really have I see a big impact on organizations. that it's become acceptable that people can just ghost you. You can have a conversation with them via email or text, then all of a sudden it just stops. Well, that's going to bleed into customer service,
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
if once that becomes normal, that will carry into other areas. That's going to be a major problem. So what is the what's what should we be doing? What's the antidote? What's the answer?
Yeah.
I believe in the power of positivity. So instead of coming down on that employee, you point out something. You know what? I know, Alex, you've been so busy. You're trying to do all of the social media, you're trying to do the marketing, you're doing podcasts, you're so busy. But you have captured some key elements that's happening into the
And all this
workforce.
one.
Good job, Alex. Look what happens when an employee receives that. And we actually, when we put one of these videos together, and it's we have the example of a child. The child wants a glass of water, sees water, and the child goes, wah, 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 wah. Well, as a parent, you're going, yeah, look at that. He's, you know, he or she's trying to say water. And you're going, yes, you're so encouraging, right? You'd go to that child, yes, good job, water, water, and you guide him along. You wouldn't go to the child and say, it's water. Come on. You should know this by now. You say water.
Some
Well, you're
people
going to ruin that child for the rest of their life. So,
Oh my
why
God.
aren't we taking that positivity into the workforce, especially now? When things are fast, I always say slow down.
Oh,
When things are just dragging, go fast.
yeah, love it.
It's always the opposite.
I
So,
love
the
it.
power of positivity can impact stressed out, duress people. It can counter attack the negativity, the
Yeah.
fears that are happening in the workforce, the miscommunications, the lack of collaboration. Here's a big one. What I see, what's happening with organizations, and we get to talk to I mean, we've got some clients that are in the Fortune 50, and whether they're the Fortune 50 or they're a company of 20 people,
Yeah, that's
the
another.
same issues are happening.
Yeah.
And it's teams. There are more teams now than ever before in the workforce. And they're taking these employees from different departments saying, okay, you're a team.
Get
Do X
together.
and get it finished by Y. And we're hoping Z is the the return on our investment. Well, now you got all these stressed people that are and don't know one another, and
Yeah,
they're and
over.
one's in there with FOBO. Well, my job's going to be obsolete, so I'm not going to give the information so that I can keep job security. Well,
Yeah.
how's that going to impact the team? And then you have a team leader that's still doing the command and
Yeah.
has millennials and Gen Z on the team saying, all right, here's what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they're all like, well, we don't respect you at all.
Yeah.
All that's going on in an
And there's someone
organization.
stressed telling you like, oh, where's your email? Where's your work? Where's that? And yeah, I can absolutely feel it even just when you talk about that. Like it's,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, I just call it people stuff happening at so many different levels and different interactions. And it's all because of the cultures that we're living in today. It's
Yeah.
fast, and the information, we know this, the information is just tremendous, and it's coming at us so fast.
Yeah.
We've got to be positive. We've got to be consistent. We have to be fair. We have to be calm. And what can we do that's going to be the best for all of us?
Yeah. And I love that you said, when everything is fast, slow down. And I really want to point it out again and repeat, that magic and the results actually they happen in stillness. And stillness doesn't mean that you freeze and you stay and for you we are frozen because of the stress. So it's opposite. Stillness is being in let's call it, when we look at the nervous system, it's the resident digest, right? Like where we can actually think, when we can connect. because the moment we are stressed, we are not connecting with other person. We can't collaborate. It doesn't work. So I love when you're talking about that from perspective of stress and who we are, where we need to be inside, right? We need to start with ourselves, because even if you are not positioned by a leader, like you don't need to have position title, but you're going and you are in a team. You can be leader within the team when you are positive and you are more, fresh energy, and you're helping people to get inspired. That's what people need. And it doesn't matter what is your position. I always said, if you have that internal energy of excitement and being there and uplift people, please do it. Don't leave it
Yes.
leader. Don't say like, oh, that's his job. No, it's everyone's job. It's
Yes.
everyone's in the team job to be that person. And I love that you're saying that, right? It's important who we are. It's so important. And it's so important to open up these conversations. Even if people don't go and run trainings, please open up this conversation with your people. Just talk about the energy. Talk about what will inspire them, what it takes to feel inspired, what it takes to feel motivated. KPIs, and because you are below the profits that are, or below the KPIs you want to hit, most companies are, but it's okay. Sometimes the numbers are not that important. They will come later. You will always go up, right? Always. So I think it's a great reminder to tell people, yes, of course, numbers are important. We are not silly. Like, let's don't say that we will be just the spiritual and sitting somewhere on the hill and meditate and talk to people and have fun. Yeah, probably business is not going to, go anywhere. So we still need to have financial management. We still need to understand that, and we still need KPIs. But you mentioned that before, like there was the culture and last hundreds of years, like we're going for the goal. And as you said about the golfer, right? Like the goal is not important. And yesterday, 2 days ago, I learned something. The journey is the destination. And not there is no goal you need to hit. There is just aspiration. I want to achieve this goal, but the journey is the destination, and that's where the happiness is. And I was like, I love that, because it's such a good reminder of me going through all coaching trainings, 20 years ago when you started, when Tony Robbins started. Everything was all that time was everything about the goal. But he also changed how he talks about goals, right? He said the goal is just the learning curve. The goal is here for you to learn and grow. And I love that. Because that's it in a company. If you have big goals, great, but allow people to learn and grow.
Learn.
Yeah. And
And
oh,
they learn through mistakes. And that's the biggest thing,
exactly.
too, that's missing is if you embrace that culture of it's okay to make mistakes because that's when we learn the most. And if that can be, that message can be given over and over and over, for those that are listening, for your parents, if you're a parent, I can't emphasize enough, tell your child it's okay to make mistakes. We all make them, and it's the greatest way to learn
It is.
over and over and over. Because that's the other thing. People are afraid to make mistakes. They want to deflect responsibility and accountability. That's, oh yeah, Alex, there's so many issues happening. One thought that I wanted to share that people can relate to, Jack Nicklaus, probably the greatest golfer ever. I was very fortunate to get actual golf lessons from his coach.
Oh, nice.
And he was talking to me about Jack's philosophy. When Jack was struggling on the course, and he could feel the stress coming, he's not playing the way he should. He would slow down. He would take his swing and he would reduce it to 75% versus going at it as hard as he could. So that's counterintuitive. It's not in our nature. When things get tough, we start getting more tense and deal with it. But he was smart enough, wise enough to slow down. And that's what we've been talking about. So everything's going so fast, slow down. And the coach was telling me, he said, and Jack would actually end up hitting the ball farther because he was so relaxed. And that's part of a golf swing. I don't want to give golf lessons here now,
No,
but
it's great.
that's the idea. So he was much more effective because he was relaxed.
Yeah, I actually, okay, so this is my kind of lesson from golf. I actually started to just driving range and just try to, hit the ball first time. So I've been there only 3, 4 times now. And it's funny because we were talking about that with my nephew, and I said, when somebody's telling me how to hold it, how to stand, I'm adjusting so many times and I get so stressed that I'm not right way that I can't even hit the ball. But every time, and I said, you know what, let's just hit the ball. I just come there, I stand, and I'm like super relaxed. I'm like, you know what, I'm like, let's just hit it. That's all. Like, let's try, just to really learn that swing. And it doesn't matter how that looks, right? Or how, somebody's looking at me like, oh, your arms are not right. Yeah, of course, it's not going to be right. I'm there fourth time, it doesn't need to be perfect. And that time I always hit a ball. And it's the same thing. Like you saying that there was someone's philosophy. I can't believe it. And you realize that straight away when you're trying to do something new, and that's in business, right? When you're trying to do something new, you will make mistakes. You will look like an idiot. You will look silly, right? Like it can happen. But being okay with that and being relaxed through that stage of the business or decision making and just breathe and being okay with everything that's coming, I think that's when the magic happens. So I love that we actually kind of looking at the golf. So now I can share the experience as well after 4 times.
Yeah,
It's
well,
awesome.
here's a little exercise we can do. Okay, I want you to take your fingers, okay, and squeeze them into your palms with your thumbs up. Okay, squeeze those fingers in real tight. Now move your thumbs forward and backward as you're squeezing. Okay, just your wrists. Okay, just move the wrists. See how stiff it is?
It's so
Now
hot.
relax, relax. Keep your fingers there with your thumbs up. Relax. Now what happens?
Yeah, it's so much easier to move, right? Like when you are relaxed. Yeah, it's like all your body
So,
increased. Yeah, great.
in the golf swing, if the wrist is relaxed, guess what happens to that club?
It's natural, right? It's actually it's moving the
If you,
ball itself. Yeah.
greater, you'll get greater acceleration. So now we apply that into the business world. So instead of getting stress, start relaxing, get yourself calm, and you'll be more effective.
I love that.
It always works out. I've seen it over the years. I've seen stressed managers, business owners. Yeah, but Bob, you don't understand. I've got to, I'm always, I'm losing too many people, and I got to hire new people, and but the cost is
You're
just too
like,
high, and blah blah blah.
I heard it so
And
many
I'm like, yeah, it's like I can't help you your business until I help you.
times. Yeah. And I love that. And I think all the, yeah, sorry. Sorry, apologies.
No, I was just saying it's all, it's really interesting how this conversation's going, Alex, that,
Yeah.
it's all about when it's going too fast, slow down. When you're stressed, relax. Move from reacting to responding.
Yeah. And you know what is
And a
funny?
mentor is a great way to do that.
Yeah. And look, I love this, where this, or how this actually, how we arrived to this, because my first question, I was really curious, to see, and it's funny because we answered the question basically, because I was going to ask, so when the company knows they need training, right? Or they need some help, or like they need mentoring. And it's funny because we basically just touch base on everything, right? Like when you're stressed, when you are feeling that you don't know where to go. But I would like to still hear, like, I know companies, because they are in that not response but reactive mode. What do you think they should do? Because for me, like, it's very clear. For you, it's very clear probably, but what if they can't see it? How we can make them to see that this is actually really important conversation we have right now. This is actually the most important part, because there is science behind. I teach the science behind that stress and energy and what we attract, and I can see it on myself. I can see it on my clients. The moment they are actually relaxed and they are able to respond, the things coming to them. So how we can, better to maybe explain the company with 150 employees that now you're cutting the cost, but you actually need the training. Like you need to actually add the budget into that space.
Yeah. Because because when you look at an organization and they start making cuts, what are the employees going to start thinking?
I'm going
Is
to
that a positive
school.
thing for them? It's a
No.
negative. It stresses them
More
out.
stress, yeah.
Yeah. So, But if you made those cuts, so you look at the numbers and you're saying, okay, yeah, all of the situations that are rising, we need to cut here. Okay.
Sometimes can be true, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. But then we look at, okay, now if you're calm and you go, okay, this is going to put a negative impact on our people. So let's invest in our people. When you invest in someone, they feel valued, they feel respected, and they feel like I have a part here. There's a purpose why I'm here. And what we've learned in this busy, crazy world that we're in right now, one of the best ways to effectively train somebody in that state is to give them micro learning.
Yeah.
So you give them just enough information that they can receive it and they can apply it immediately. And organizations that recognize that, they value that because it's taking very little time away from doing the work that they need to do, that they're
Yeah.
spending on training, but they get a great return and they know that their employees, they're going to retain them. And that's, we haven't even talked about that, the, attracting and retaining good
Yeah.
employees, because
Oh, wow, that's
here in the
another call.
US,
Wow.
well, in the US, our labor pool is there's nothing there. So
Yeah.
the only way you're going to get somebody is if you can get them from another company. So you don't want to be the company losing them. So how are you retaining and training? So not only are you going to make the employee feel valued and respected and have purpose, a sense of belonging, but you're upskilling them.
Yeah.
So now when they are dealing with the stress and they're having a miscommunication with somebody, they know how to resolve it and
Yeah.
move forward. And we know just human behavior, when two people have conflict and it get resolved in a positive way, the relationship actually gets stronger
Yeah, I
because they
agree.
both went through their differences and they both felt
Yeah.
respected and everything was resolved. And they end up being in a better relationship than
Yeah.
previously.
That's always in even when you look at the normal like partnerships, right? Any partnerships or any
Yep.
even romantic relationships, the moment people go through crisis and they overcome crisis together, they're much stronger together. Like they it's just, it's really, really strong relationship when you're looking at how tied they are together. Because that's when you kind of share, the different experiences as well. And I love that what you said, being or feeling respected. Like so many times when we're ghosted or when people just disregard us, basically, we don't exist or they don't even bother to pick up the call, pick up the phone. People don't understand how massive impact that has on the person. And, our fear from actually open up conversation or our fear to connect with someone because, maybe that's not the right time, maybe it's not good, or maybe just forget about maybes. Like the impact of you calling someone or connecting to someone can really change someone else's life. I will ask you about your thoughts on this. So I don't know if you experienced this in the US, but in Australia is a lot of there was a lot of push last five, I don't know, seven, 10 years on mental health, right? So where I think the awareness campaigns went, they went too far, and now everyone is kind of victim. So you can basically just go and it's like, oh, I don't feel it, I have, I don't know, ADHD or I have anxiety, I have depression. I'm not making depression lighter. Some people have clinical depression. I absolutely respect that. I just want to say there is too many things that people think that there is a problem. Like I have problem. My brain is not right, right? My brain is weird and I'm different. And I feel like we push it so far that there are so many victims and we are so focusing all the time on fixing people. But I don't think people need fix. What people need is to focus on how I can make that other person feel good. So for example, when you look at the trainings, I'm sure you have some, customer service trainings. We actually look at that when we did apply customer service training and make people better with other people as a customers, when you look at wait staff, the hotels, right? Like so important. And they became better people. And they actually stopped having the mental health leaves and stuff because they felt so good that they can serve someone and they started to understand the neuroscience. So I feel like we need to change the campaigns. And I would like to know your opinion about it, like awareness, like I think we have enough mental health awareness. But how to actually change that? I think that's the question, because we need some change here.
Oh, yeah, Alex, you're touching on something that I'm very passionate about. And this is what I believe is that all humans, we have to answer the questions, who am I? So what's my identity? What am I worth? What's my value? Why am I here? What's my purpose? So they have to have their identity, their value, and their purpose. And what you were
Love
just
it.
saying, when you start investing in and pointing those things out, you're helping them answer those questions. And you're actually fulfilling yours as well. So where can the mental health, and I totally agree with you, there are clinical
Yeah, of course, yeah. And we respect
depression and
that, yeah.
mental health issues, absolutely. But for the average, the masses, if those things are being addressed, their identity, their value, and their
Yeah.
purpose, depression, sadness, anxiety, fears all start to dissipate.
I agree, yeah.
And you know,
It's a big thing.
there's valid reasons why we can experience some stress or
Yeah,
anxiety,
of
and
course. Yeah, it's not
but
100% of the
overall,
time. Yeah.
yeah, overall, you can actually come to the workforce and it can change your life and it can change other people's lives.
Love it. Love it. Okay.
Who was it? It was one last thing. There was
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, famous salesperson.
Folks.
His name is slipping me, but one
Yeah.
thing he said, you can have whatever you want by helping people get what they want.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
that's the key concept. You
Yeah.
start dealing with your own identity, your value, and your purpose. And when you really believe who I am, I'm a good person. I have a lot to offer. I'm unique. I'm creative. I'm innovative. I'm smart. I'm good with numbers, or I'm good with customers, whatever that is, the identity and my values. Look what I can do
Wow.
for an organization. And here's my purpose, is to
Yeah.
help others.
You know what came up in my, to my mind? I want to share this because I think what you just said, it feels like when we're connecting the mental health issues, right? Like I'm talking about the anxieties, fears or worries and being, you know, down, feeling all the time down and stressed. I feel like it's because for a long time we were actually living in opposite relationships with ourselves and people, and that's more transactional. We all try to acquire things and money, and probably in that journey of life, we so disconnected from ourselves and others because we were not focusing on making someone else's life better, right?
Well, I totally agree with you, Alex. Our world has gotten to be very narcissistic in
Oh
terms
yeah.
of
Oh
very
yeah. Oh
self-focused,
yeah.
self-focused, self-focused, self-focused.
Happening.
And everything is revolving around that.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that that will not bring you to answer those questions of who am
Yeah.
I? What's my value? What's my purpose? It's going to keep you in a cycle and you'll never get there. It's sad, and I see it all the time.
I would say, because I think we had beautiful conversation to give people, you know, the tool or technique to start to feel better. And I think that's the point of the conversation, because I think it's so important to realize, guys, that this doesn't mean to be negative conversation, this or pointing out just the bad things, but this is just showing you that just breathing, you know, slowing down and connecting with other people and try to do something for other people and see, you know, where your values, how you feel, where you can add value to people's life and being there present and listening and acknowledging, you know, when you're talking about the kid with the water, right? I want to say the water. Like, you can do that all the time, every day. And I guarantee you that you will feel happy at the end of the day when you will do some of these things. So
Yep.
I feel like that was the major thing of our conversation. And I know you're teaching that. Yeah. And
Absolutely.
I love
Oh,
that
I'm
you said,
sorry. Go ahead.
no, I'm fast. Sorry for that. No, I was just going to say, and you mentioned that in micro learnings or micro coaching, micro content, so we can digest that, we can spend a little bit of time on something, implement something, and I love that because I think, and it's actually pushing people to implement things, right? Because we don't implement, we just learn, we just listen. but we don't really acquire any change in our life. We don't do any change or we create any change when we don't apply. So I believe your trainings are all about that. So I would like to say at the end, if you can share more about what you do, how people can find you, or what is the best way to connect with you.
Let me, I'm gonna add one thing and then I'll answer that.
Absolutely.
What's interesting about the micro learning, if organizations understood this principle, what you think about and how you think about it, you will become. What you think about and how you think about it, you will become. So as what you were saying, I can be that person that can be encouraging. I can be that person that finds something positive in that person. I can be a person that's curious. You mentioned the romantic relationships. Not that I'm saying, to seek out romantic relationships in the workforce, but when you think about when, for me, when I first met my wife, I asked her, "What's your favorite ice cream? What's your favorite color?" I was curious because I wanted to get to know her. Well, if that begins to happen in the workforce, people can have honest conversations. What's the one thing that, what's your biggest worry in your life? And then all of a sudden you find out everybody's, oh my goodness, me too, me too, me too. We're all in the same thing.
I love
So
that.
if organizations really understood that principle, what you think about, how you think about it, you will become. Well, feed them micro learning because what are they going to do? They're going to think about it. And then you show them some practical implementation, and that's how they're thinking about it. Well, that's what they'll become. So just keep feeding them the micro learning. Now, if people are interested in what we've designed, they can go to solalibrary.com or sola.com, Sollah. Dot com. In fact, interesting that we're talking about this is it's a when my business partner and I were trying to come up with a name, and we had all kinds of ideas, and we came across in the Bible, in Psalms, there's a word that says Selah, Sellah, and we tried to see if that was taken, and it was, but we found a different spelling for it, and we found out that it's a word, it's a Hebrew word that there's not an exact translation. They don't even know how it's pronounced. But it's uplifting, it's stupendous, it's breathtaking. We should pause. So that's what our whole company is all about. We're always wanting to be uplifting. So go to sola.com. And then from there, you can navigate to the library, and then you'll see in our library all the programs that we've created. And we have a vast number of e-learning courses that are what we call the family of training briefs. And those are those micro learning. They're going to be anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes, and they are impacting the workforce. We're very proud of it. We've got organizations that understand it, are licensing numerous courses because they want to make an impact in today's world. In fact, one of the companies that we work with, they have 189,000 employees, 189, and they are our first champions. And they said, we want these micro learning courses.
I
And
love
we've,
that.
yeah. And I feel great about it because I know I'm making a difference because I want to help people. That's who I am, and I bring lots of value to the table, and that's my purpose.
Thank you so much for everybody who is listening. Of course, I will share all information in the description of the podcast. But personally, I just want to say thank you so much, Bob. It was really pleasure to sit here with you. And we just spent 1 hour. I don't even know how. I have so many
Wow.
things I just really love to talk about, and I love how aligned we are in respect of how we want people to treat each other, because that is really creating ripple effect in the economy, in home, in families, in communities. And I think it's so important and reminder of that we need to slow down and being in stillness and being present to every situation, every person that is in front of you right now, because that is only what matters, right? There can be no tomorrow. So Let's make the best out of today. And I think that's so important to be the whole in today, right? And not waiting for better times or waiting for something else. So I really appreciate it. And I love that we kind of came from Europe, but kind of connected. I'm in Australia, you are in the US. Funny, always.
Yeah.
And love that you,
Oh.
which is Romanian. I have some beautiful friends there. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
Yeah,
sharing the wisdom.
I really enjoyed my time with you too, Alex. I mean, this has just been a great, great time.